Welcome to the Monocle Arch Review with me, Tom Edwards. On the programme today, we discuss Australian series Please Like Me, Supergirl, and, yes, The Golden Girls. I'm joined here in studio by Monocle's producer and general TV buff, Ben Rylan.
Hello, Tom.
TV buff, you happy with that?
I'm happy with TV buff, yeah. I am a bit of a TV buff, yes. Sometimes
I mean,
it's
known
a bit
as
of
the movie man on air on Monocle 24.
Yeah, that's true.
But the small screen, you're equally comfortable.
Well, I am definitely because, I mean, look, let's face it, a lot of movies are actually consumed on the small screen now today as well. And small screens aren't as small as they once were. But I do have to admit, it sometimes becomes an occupational hazard for me because I find myself having to watch movies for the cinema show, but being drawn to some television series like the ones we're discussing today.
Okay, well, let's kick off with what I gather is one of your favourites.
Indeed.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's Supergirl.
Well done.
It's Supergirl.
Well done.
See,
indeed.
Bit of historical reference there. Two seasons in already, of course. Why are we talking about this today?
So season two is currently airing in the United States at the moment. Now, I have to say, this series, it sometimes suffers from the perception problem that superheroes are getting at the moment. Superheroes are overexposed, let's admit it. There are too many superhero movies coming out. We've had a bit of a break recently, but perhaps the Batman versus Superman movie was really the pinnacle of just how bad things can get. An atrocious piece of, can't even describe it, let's move on. Supergirl sets itself very cleverly apart from that, and I think it's doing exceptionally well at really carving itself a place very, very separate to the rest of the superhero lore. It's not really about, I mean, sure, it's called Supergirl. It's about a superhero, but it's not really about that. It's more about gender politics. It wears its feminist flag quite out and proud, but it's also just corny enough to make it easy viewing.
Now, connoisseurs of small screen superheroes will remember Terry Hatcher from the 1990s, of course, the seminal Lois and Clark series. She played Lois Lane.
She did.
Can it be true that she is going to appear on this?
Yes.
But not as Lois Lane. Lois Lane's granny or something like that. What's she going to be? And what will that add to the mix, do you think?
So this is another thing that I really love about Supergirl, and not just Supergirl, actually, the whole franchise. So Supergirl is actually part of the other series, superhero series airing at the moment. There's also Arrow, and there is The Flash as well. They have crossover episodes and create a bit of a Justice League type situation. So the series is not... It's no stranger to bringing back some of the old cast members from iterations of superheroes past. Now, Lois and Clark, back in the 90s, did this. The actress who played Lois Lane's mother in Lois and Clark was actually the first ever Lois Lane, Phyllis Coates, from the 1950s
series. My facetious remark was actually
very,
accurate,
very accurate
in some way. Right.
Terry Hatcher is going to be playing a role in season two of Supergirl. We don't know exactly what that role will be yet. But she's joining some others from past iterations who have popped up on the show. One of them, who I was very lucky to meet a couple of years ago, Helen Slater, the first ever Supergirl. Now, she, of course, is on the series, has a recurring role as Supergirl's foster mother. So, I mean, for people like me who you might describe me as a bit of a nerd.
I would never say that, Ben.
Look, this, it's golden stuff, because when you're someone like me and you see these faces that people like us, we recognise, it feels as though the series is actually talking directly to us. And I think, you know, that really, really works.
Now, I think we talked before we move on, about superhero franchises on the big screen. You mentioned Batman vs Superman, and you know, we sometimes these things seem to be at a lower ebb. Is there more scope yet for further iterations? Maybe not the same superheroes, but new ones. Do you think that appetite is undiminished from nerds or anybody else for that matter? Or do you think in the end, the creative people behind these big, I don't know, the studios, the people who are bankrolling it, might finally need to look elsewhere other than superheroes?
Of course, of course. And that is happening as well. Netflix just premiered a new series all about the Archie comics, Riverdale. So, look, more and more interpretations of mediums that we've had for a very, very long time are popping up. Superheroes aren't going away. And even though it feels as though superheroes just popped up out of nowhere in the last few years, it's not actually the case. Superman and his friends have been adapted for television since the 1950s. There have been very few moments throughout history where there has not been some sort of interpretation of Superman. Certainly not any time during my lifetime, from the Christopher Reeve movies, the Superboy TV series, Lois and Clark, the cartoon series, Smallville in the early 2000s. You know, they've always been around. So I think what we're doing is where the medium is maturing. It's not just about the superheroes anymore. As I said, it's about the politics. They're turning into proper drama series. And we've actually got a little bit of a clip from Supergirl that we can play just now. And this, I think, kind of drives home that balance that the show manages to capture between just being a little bit corny, a little bit soap opera, but it makes you feel good. Something to watch under a nice warm blanket with a big bucket of ice cream.
You know, the worst decisions that I've ever made in my life were based on fear. But you showed me that there was another way to be strong by having faith in people, by believing that goodness would prevail. And because of you, I started letting people in. I even opened myself up to my assistant, Kira, who helped me have a relationship with my son again. Now, I can't tell you what to do, Supergirl, but if you've taught me anything, you have taught me that hope is stronger than fear.
So that's a clip there with Cat Grant, played by Calista Flockhart, who people will remember as Ally McBeal, having a bit of a touching moment there with Supergirl. Her character is, you could almost describe it, Tom, as a bit of a Tyler Brûlé type character, once a journalist and now a high-flying head of her own media company. Written very, very well, though.
Wonderful stuff. Well, you can see the fruits of all of that on Supergirl, available on Amazon. The third season will premiere later this year on CW. Let's move on, Ben, from one classic to another.
Oh, indeed. I'm excited about this.
The Golden Girls. Let's just put this in some context, I guess, first of all. Why is this back on vogue now? I mean, we've talked a little bit about the challenges of Trump's America and how, you know, as American social history moves and evolves, understandably, its media and its programs and its sitcoms even, they evolve too. Does that explain this, or are some things just classics because they were well written, well acted, well devised? What's behind its longevity, do you think?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, I think. So The Golden Girls has never gone away. Since it aired, it has just been in constant reruns. It is one of the great sitcoms of all time. It has such a rich cult following. There are people out there who treat The Golden Girls like a religion. Some of my friends will be able to recite lines word for word just out of nowhere. This is one of the most influential television series of all time. Hulu, a streaming service over in the United States, has recently nabbed the exclusive streaming rights for The Golden Girls. And just to top off how influential and culturally relevant this series is, a Golden Girls cafe has just opened in New York City. And I mean, it's literally like the doors have only flown open very, very recently. I've been looking at some pictures and I'm so tempted to book myself a ticket just to go and buy a coffee. The coffee liners, those cardboard things you put around your cup to protect your hand from the heat, they've got Blanche Devereaux's face all over them. The cafe is called Rue La Rue. I believe that's the name of it. Rue La Rue. The Rue La Rue Cafe. Now, the reason that it's called the Rue La Rue Cafe is because the man who started it was actually friends with Rue McClanahan, who, of course, famously played Blanche. His real surname is La Rue, and Rue McClanahan would always jokingly say, jokingly beg him to marry her so that she could change her name to Rue La Rue. So she sort of eventually got her own way.
We'll talk a bit more about The Golden Girls in a minute and its relevance now, but shall we refresh? I mean, in case there are any listeners who aren't familiar, let's refresh their memories with a little bit of a clip. Here's a clip from The Golden Girls.
On the next Golden Girls, class is in session.
Why do I have to learn algebra?
Because I had to learn how to teach it.
And Dorothy's prized pupil wins a contest.
Surprise! Mario, that's just beautiful.
You should hear it when I read it.
But he loses a lot more.
We have reason to believe that Mario is in this country illegally.
It's a test in courage.
Doesn't mean that we're going to have to give up. We're going to fight this.
On the next Golden Girls.
Wednesday at 7 on TV41.
I felt like I was in 1985 for a moment, which I remember well. But that's weird, isn't it? Of its time. But I guess that's an interesting point. Does it have a relevance? I don't know. If people watch this now, and you mentioned it's arriving on Hulu this month, I think also available on Amazon.
Yeah, you can buy. You can't stream it on Amazon Prime, sadly, but you can buy the seasons individually.
Do you think people will watch it and say, hey, do you know what? This still speaks a relevant language now. Now, it's interesting. They mentioned, you know, there was a bit of immigration topic in Trump's America.
Well, Tom, I chose that particular promo for a reason, actually, because that episode is an absolute classic episode. Mario, the character Mario that we heard referred to in that little promo there, that's a character who was played by Mario Lopez. He was a guest star in that episode. If you're looking for it, it's season 2, episode 21. So he stars as a pupil of the character Dorothy. He writes an essay on what it means to be an American. But because of that essay, because of how high profile that essay becomes and how appreciated the essay is, he's discovered to be in the country illegally. And so the girls then need to rally around and try to find some way to keep him in the country. Now, I'm not spoiling anything to say that, sadly, that is not the case. He does end up having to be deported. It's a very, very sad, touching episode. But like every episode that the Golden Girls ever did, they somehow managed to touch upon some themes that are very, very serious, very heartfelt, so relevant, so important. And yet you still find yourself in fits of laughter all the way through.
There you go. If you want to be in a fit of laughter, like Ben Roiland... check out The Golden Girls arriving on Hulu this month. Let's go to the motherland, Ben, shall we, next, and talk about Please Like Me. Tell us a bit more. Give us the sort of backdrop to this, because it's had a lot of critical success, but maybe not done... I don't know. How successful has it been, and what's its secret?
So Please Like Me is a cute little comedy drama series written by and starring Josh Thomas and his high school friend Thomas Ward. Now, the fourth season just aired last year. Earlier this month, just a couple of weeks ago, Josh himself sent an email around to all the fans of the show announcing that indeed season 4 would be the final season, simply because they all felt that the way that it ended felt complete to them. And they wanted to put a bookend on the series and move on. My own affection for the program makes me want to suspect that maybe they'll come back for a special telly movie or Christmas special or something in the future. I suspect that will be the case. That expectation may be a little more than hope, but we'll see. Basically, this is a wonderful little series that chronicles the character loosely based on himself, Josh, who in the very first episode, we see he and his girlfriend, played by Caitlin Stacey, sitting down to have some drinks. It's shot in Melbourne, and I can tell you that first scene is actually at the bar Madame Brussels, beautiful bar if you want to go there, and she's breaking up with him. And he seems to be not exactly upset, but a little bit confused, and then one of the reasons that she gives is that because... she thinks that he's gay. As is often the case, the girl seems to have become aware that the boy is gay before the boy seems to have accepted it. And then we follow him through accepting that about himself, adjusting into what you could describe as his new lifestyle, I suppose. But it's again, it's done in this beautiful, fun, casual way that, again, manages to... It touches on some really... bleak, serious topics. It's all about mental illness. It's about struggling with relationships with your parents. It's about having to face up to that moment where you need to come out, and whether you actually do need to come out. Do you need to tell your parents? How is that even done? It's just one of the most perfect series that I've ever seen Australia produce.
Well, and that's the point I was going to ask you, Ben. You talk about TV perfection for Australia. Is this the sort of show, though, that does travel well? It's interesting to reflect back on what we were just saying about the Golden Girls, you know, Trump's America, people watching through, I don't know, maybe a bit of a different prism these days. Is this the kind of thing that will resonate wherever in the world people are watching, do you think?
I think so, because now that it's been sold to... It was airing in the US on a cable network called Pivot. Pivot was shut down last year. It's now been picked up by Hulu. So Josh Thomas has been doing a bit of publicity for the show throughout the United States. And it does seem to be resonating. It got quite a bit of praise from the New York Times. It got a positive review in Vulture. A lot of people are pointing out that this show, it's just so touching and optimistic and bright and fun, and yet still allows you to get a little bit teary, and it really gets you involved in the characters as well. I just don't know how he manages to do that, to really pick up on that perfect balance. I have to say, my favourite moment from the series that I've seen, I have to admit I'm only up to season 3, I haven't touched on season 4 just yet, but there's a very beautiful moment where Josh forces his dad, and Arnold to role play a practice run of Arnold coming out to his own father. Arnold is Josh's boyfriend. And there's this wonderful moment where so Arnold and Josh's dad are actually having to practice exactly how the coming out would happen when Arnold eventually comes out to his own father. But the way they've done it is very cleverly to depict what would be any gay man's perfect fantasy for how their parent would react if they were to come out to them. And even for people that have parents who are open-minded, usually the surprise and the shock can often take over from maybe the message of support that one would hope for. In this particular scene, even though it's fake in the show, it plays out absolutely perfectly shortly after we see Arnold come out to his actual father and things don't go very
as one might imagine, it could be a bit of a different
all.
Scene.
There's a wonderful scene involving a slapped croquembouche, which I won't go into.
Let's leave it there. My favourite piece of criticism was from The Guardian here in the UK, Ben, which said it's the gay answer to Ronnie Corbett's Sorry, apparently. Do you go along with that?
I don't know what Ronnie Corbett's Sorry is.
It's probably best to leave it that way. Before we go, should we hear a clip? What did you do? You described it in quite magisterial terms as the finest program out of Australia. What are we going to hear?
Just quickly, Tom, I have to tell you, remember, Australia doesn't have same-sex marriage. Being gay in Australia is such a strange thing because the politics is so separate to the culture. And I think this little clip that I'll play for you here, it's simply Arnold and Josh meeting for the first time in fairly awkward circumstances. And as the show points out, and as this little clip will demonstrate, really, culture is so far from politics in Australia. And if you look at the way that gay politics is in Australia at the moment, watch this program and you'll understand that the people of Australia, that doesn't reflect them. This show reflects how Australia really is. Let's have a listen.
Hey, looks like John likes you. Want some ham?
Oh, no, I'm vegetarian.
Do you want to give some to John?
Oh, that'd make me feel uncomfortable.
I wish that guy was still wearing my frog onesie.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's my brother.
That's your brother?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm adopted.
Cool. John is also adopted. I adopted him. So, I don't know, maybe that's why you two got along so well. Why are you sitting under a table? What's that about?
Everyone kept asking me how my weekend was, and I didn't know how to tell them this is my weekend. Yeah. This is my weekend event.
I turned my mum into a mental home. That's my weekend.
No way, I'm mental.
Oh, really?
Wonderful, wonderful scene there. They are actually talking about mental illness there as well. Much of the whole series revolves around mental illness, and the way it treats it is just, it's serious, but it's not too serious. It won't take you too far into the bleakness.
A lightness of touch. Please Like Me has just been sold to Hulu in the US, as Ben was saying earlier. It's available on Amazon as well. One to check out. Follow Ben's advisory. That brings us to the end of today's programme. Thank you very much to my guest, Ben Ryland.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. The show was produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. What are we talking about? Books, no less. But for now, it's goodbye from myself and from Ben. Thank you very much for listening.